We are Be'ezer Hashem starting the Parsha Shavuah for this week, Parsha Re'eh. It is August 14th, 2017, and I believe it corresponds with the Hebrew date of Chaf Aleph of Tav Shinayin Zayin. And we're going to be talking about how Hashem wants us to regard our goal in life as what our objectives must be. In other words, to understand that we are put on this world to fulfill a mission. We are not here just to spend time, to have a good time, although having a good time can very much be the result of doing the right things, but we have a mission. We have a mission to accomplish. It's something that I've told a caretaker who was taking care of my mother-in-law, who no longer is alive anymore, when she was put on palliative care, where she was very sick. But the family did not approve that she should be just given comfort and medication to make her feel good, but prepare her to die, which was against the family wishes. We wanted to give her a chance to live as long as she possibly could, although she was very ill. And the caretaker couldn't understand what's the big deal. Let her die with peace and dignity, and don't let her suffer. So I explained something to this caretaker, that the decision of the hospital to give a palliative care was against the Torah, because we as a Jewish people have a mission. We are put into this world, we have a mission to accomplish. From the moment we are born to the moment we die, we are here to fulfill a mission. We are here to fulfill God's will. We are here to accomplish God's will. And every moment is precious, because in every moment of a person's life, he can fulfill a mitzvah. And a mitzvah is a privilege. And a mitzvah is another portion in the world to come. When we look at life as a mission, then we just don't squander life and make believe it's just another day, and it's just an experience of a person living or existing in this world without a purpose. Our goal as a Jew is that we're here for a purpose and we have a mission to accomplish. And I explained this to her, and her eyes opened up. Now, to prepare a person to die in peace when it's not sanctioned according to the halacha, according to Jewish law, is a crime. It's against the Torah. Sometimes the Torah permits that, but that the doctor should meet in privacy and decide, well, this patient is old, this patient doesn't look like we'll get better, this patient is costing us too much money, let's just write her off. And that's what happened with my mother-in-law until we stopped it. And we got the rabbi of the shul to say, please do not have anything to do with this woman who is very ill unless we give you permission to do whatever you wish to do. And they right away stepped down and allowed the family to put back her regular medication and put back her regular care that she needed. And this was able to sustain her to some degree. What does that have to do with this parsha? So we begin the parsha on page 998, Parshas Re'eh. And we're going to begin with the following psukim. See, Hashem says, I'm giving to you all today a blessing and a curse. What's the blessing? Es HaBracha, the next verse. Es HaBracha, Ashitishmu El Mitzvot Hashem Alekechem. What is the blessing? That if you listen to God, the mitzvahs, you will guard the mitzvahs of Hashem, of your God. Ashanochi mitzvah eschamayim, which I am commanding you today. Doing the mitzvahs is a blessing. Vehaklola, and what's the curse? Imlos ishmu el mitzvahs Hashem alekechem. If you don't listen to Hashem, your God. Vesaratim min aderach ashanochi mitzvah eschamayim. He will turn aside from the way which Hashem, which I am commanding you today. I am commanding you to fulfill the mitzvahs and not go astray and go after other gods which you do not know of and you have no concept or no connection with. So, the mission of a Jew in this world is to listen to Hashem, and Hashem is giving you a choice. Bracha and klala. This is one of the main fundamental concepts of Judaism, that God gives you a choice. He doesn't stop you from doing an aveira. If you want to do it, you can do it, but there's a price you pay. You'll pay. You have a choice of bracha and a choice of klala. Blessing and curse. What's the bracha? Doing mitzvahs. What is the source of a curse? Not listening to the Torah and not obeying the mitzvahs. So now you can understand my introduction when I told you about my mother-in-law. When my mother-in-law was very ill, and the doctors wrote her off without permission of the family. And they started to, they cleaned her computer screen from all the medications. And the nurse who was officiating there had to do whatever the doctor said. And there's just very simple things to do with that. Not to do this, not to do that. In other words, don't give her extra oxygen, or if this happens or that happens, they want to slowly kill her. And all the medications and other things that they were giving her until now, they removed. And we got on the case immediately, and they changed it. And I explained to the personal caretaker who took care of my mother-in-law, she thought it was the right thing to do. And we explain, no, we have a mission. A guy doesn't understand that. In Parshas Re'eh, it says we have a mission. Hashem is giving us a mission. I'm presenting to you bracha and klala. I'm telling you, and I'm like kind of pointing to the blessing. That's what you should do. And avoid the klala. There's a question that one can ask right away on these two verses. Why does the Torah elaborate in repeating itself? The Torah says, bracha and klala. See, I'm presenting to you before a blessing and a curse. And then he explains, a blessing is doing the mitzvahs, and a curse is not. Just say one without the other. Why do you need both? So there's many ways of explaining this. On a simple term, on a simple level, you can explain that the word bracha needs to be defined. So the pasuk defines a bracha. Bracha is not just being wealthy and being happy. Blessing doesn't mean that you have a fat bank account. But bracha means you're serving God, who is the source of all bracha, goodness. What is klala? Klala doesn't mean you're walking around with a shotgun. Klala doesn't mean that you are an alcoholic addict or involved with some other crime, which could also be a klala. But in the terminology of the Torah, klala is not fulfilling the mitzvahs. That is klala. So that's one simple way of explaining the repetition of the psukim. But I heard another explanation, which is a very beautiful explanation. Why does the Torah repeat bracha and klala again? And the Torah repeats it again because there are two levels that one has to understand when doing a mitzvah and doing an aveira. When you do a mitzvah, there is an immediate reward, and then there's a projected reward. What's the immediate reward for doing a mitzvah? The immediate reward is you become a better person. Immediately. The projected reward is that you have olam haba. You have a heavenly spiritual bank account that's awaiting you. You know, people who work hard all their lives fight to put away money for their old age. They get a pension and they live off their pension. A person doesn't work and put away money for their old age has no pension. They don't have what to eat from, right? They don't have that support that they need. A mitzvah is not only an immediate reward, but a projected reward. An aveira is in two parts, the same way. There is an immediate punishment, and there is a projected punishment. The immediate punishment is you have stooped down a level of the goodness that God blessed you with. You are a step away from godliness. That in itself is a punishment. The projected punishment is that there's a world to come where a person has to stand before a tribunal. To support what I'm saying, in Pirkei Avos, would you be able to give me a seder, please? In Pirkei Avos, it's a clear Mishnah in the chapter of our fathers in Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Gimel. I'd like to read it to you. Here we go. Just let me find the right Mishnah. Thank you very much. Rabbi Eliezer ben. So what I'm telling you is really supported in the Mishnah. There's an immediate reward. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Yaakov, says, "Oisim mitzvah achas. One who does even one mitzvah, kol nelo praklet echad, will acquire for him." And one advocate. A malach. Immediately. For oiva aveira achas, and a person who stumbles and transgresses even one sin, kardila katega echad, acquires for him one prosecutor. Another malach. What can stop the prosecutor? Teshuva or masam tovim, doing tshuva and doing good deeds, it's kisris b'fnei paranias. is like a shield before punishment. So there is an immediate, now, there's another Mishnah that says, mitzvah gereres mitzvah, avera gereres avera. A mitzvah causes another mitzvah to take place, and an avera causes another avera to take place. How does, what's the science behind that? Because if you create a malach with a mitzvah, the only way the malach could survive is by causing you to do another mitzvah. That's its oxygen. And the way an avera works is the same way. So when you bless somebody, you say, tiskel mitzvahs, be blessed with a mitzvah, you're really giving them an opportunity to get many more mitzvahs. But again, going back to the original thing, again, just to recap, the Torah is telling us that we have a mission in this world. We have a mission in this world. And Hashem is telling us, you have a choice between good and bad. And I'm telling you, choose the blessing and not the clover. And this is what we are put here in this world, and we have a mission to accomplish. If you would think God would be happy with mediocre behavior, so let's say you don't strive to do the mitzvahs in perfection. I'll be happy with mediocre. We are taught that that's not what God wants us to choose. He's giving us a choice, bracha or klola. There's no in between. We want you to choose blessing. We don't want you to choose klola, curse. And one of the sources of where we find from the Torah, that Torah wants us to look, to shoot to the stars and not be just mediocre, is we find this by Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon sinned by eating from the Eitz HaDa'as, from the forbidden fruit. And he was banished from Gan Eden at that time. What was the concern of Hashem? Why should he have to leave Gan Eden? Because the Torah describes to us, Hashem's concern at the time was that maybe he'll eat from the Eitz HaChayim. Maybe he'll eat from the tree of life. So therefore, the Torah says, "Vayashlichei Hashem elikim meGan Eden." He sent them out of Gan Eden. So, what was the concern? So he'll eat from the Eitz HaChayim. What's wrong with eating from the Eitz HaChayim? Did it ever bother you, that question? Okay. He'll live an everlasting life outside. Outside Gan Eden. Or even if it be in Gan Eden, he would live forever. What was the concern that Hashem had? So the Sefer, my Rebbe Sefer, the Sefer Chidekel, brings down the Sefer called Nefesh HaChaim, written by Reb Chaim Volozhin, and says a very beautiful explanation that will get to what I meant to tell you before about not being mediocre. When Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, from that moment there was an immediate imperfection put into man. He had now acquired the poison of the Eitz HaRa in his being. He has now, before the Eitz HaDa'as was eaten, the Eitz HaRa was from the outside, in the form of the snake at the time, but it was outside Adam. As soon as he ate from the Eitz HaDa'as, it came into him. This zuhama, this spiritual poison came into, and the only way the correction can be made for this imperfection that was made in Adam is through living a life and dying afterwards in being a immortal that will have to live a certain amount of years and die, and his body will decay and be part of the earth. He came from the earth, he has to be put back in the earth, and after so many years and so many times, millions and billions and perhaps trillions of times, until the time when God will resurrect the dead and the human being will then live, we hope, forever. At that time, God wanted Adam to go through a period of rehabilitation to correct his sin. If God would have allowed him to live forever, that means he would have lived forever being imperfect, with this curse in him, with this zuhama. And the Torah is telling us this was not God's master plan. God's master plan was create Adam, a perfect person, and Adam does not listen to God's command, and he has to now correct that problem. As a result, we learn from this whole episode that he banished him from Gan Eden because Hashem did not want to tolerate Beinoni, mediocre, to be a mediocre individual. God is giving us a Torah with mitzvahs to try our hardest to become perfect. And when we do it, now of course everybody's on a different level, and we strive for perfection, and that's a very important statement I'm making. We strive for perfection. We're all on different levels. I have a different goal, you have a different goal, we're all on different goals. I've said it many times in my shiur, I am climbing the same ladder you are, but my requirements are different than your requirements, and we all have to try to do our best. But we are trying to be as best as we can, and not to try to be mediocre people. Yes.
Where does free will come into it? I sort of thought that eating from the fruit of knowledge,
yes,
that created, you know, good and you know evil,
right,
and you then decide what,
right,
you need to do,
right,
from that scenario,
right,
and that's the free will concept,
and that's where the parasha comes into the situation where God is giving you a choice. I'm giving you a choice between good and evil. I'm telling you, do the good. And what is the good? Doing mitzvahs. And then there is an immediate reward, and then there is a projected reward. There's an immediate punishment, and then there's a projected punishment. And I told you a Mishnah that supports that concept. And now after I just explained to you that mediocrity is not what God wanted from us. He wants us to strive for perfection. It may take us a lifetime. Maybe our perfection will only come out in maybe certain mitzvahs that we feel comfortable in, that we feel capable in doing. Certain mitzvahs we do it on a mediocre level, and other mitzvahs we try to strive for perfection. And I've heard it from a rabbi to say, pick at least one mitzvah that you'll do or die. At least one mitzvah. That was your mitzvah. Strive for perfection. At least one mitzvah. But God wants us to strive for perfection. This is why we're put in this world. Not to strive to be mediocre people. We have to strive for perfection. And God gave us a choice. And therefore, we here are bound to obey the Torah and be blessed as a result. And we are told to make that choice. The Dazakain of Balei Taisus, that's a commentary on the Chumash. Gives us a very beautiful mashal. It's not over here, but it's in another place. Where this parsha, where God gives you a choice, a blessing and curse, is compared to an old man who is sitting at the fork roads, where roads are parting to two different directions. The first road to the right is very, looks very, very bumpy, unpaved, and even looks very, very, very dangerous, hard to travel. But at the end of maybe an hour trek, it gets smooth and goes right back on to becoming a highway. The road to the left is very smooth. It's as far as the eye can see. But after maybe an hour later, it makes a sudden turn and it leads you into a forest where it's like a den of wild animals, and then near a cliff where it leads you nowhere. No city, no population, no civilization. And the old man, who has tested both ways, is telling people who pass by, go to the right. I know the difficult trip will be with only 1 hour. Go to the right. Listen to me. You'll get to your destination. Don't go to the left. The road to the left looks smooth and paved, but it leads you nowhere. It's going to be dangerous, and you can maybe lose your life. So obviously there are two groups. Everyone that stops and listens to the old man wonders, is he really telling us the truth or not? And some say he's just tricking us, and they go to the left. People who stop and say, why would the old man lead us in the wrong way? He's an old man. He probably has done it as he said he did. Let's trust him. So we'll take a chance and we'll go to the right. And they trouble themselves through the rocky roads. And suddenly, after an hour, they see a clearing and the road becomes paved and it's a highway, and they go to their destination. The road to the left is smooth and comfortable to travel, but after an hour there's no return, because they are attacked by bandits. Then the road goes off into a cliff, and there is just no way home. There's no end. There's no way back. And people who go that way usually don't survive. Says the Das Kanim of Bali Tosas, the old man is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is an old man. He's going to leave the world soon. He's telling us in the name of Hashem, the same pasuk as we read at the beginning. I'm presenting to you today a blessing and a curse. The bracha, what's a blessing? Listen to the mitzvahs. Listening to the mitzvahs are not easy. They are time consuming. Sometimes they're laborious. Sometimes a mitzvah is costly. You have to buy an esrog. You have to go build a sukkah. It's costly. Sometimes time-wise it's not convenient. You have to do certain things. You have a job. You have an appointment. And there are other things that get in the way. Hashem knows that. Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen to me. Mitzvot are not always easy to do. But once you get started and you get into the habit of doing it, it goes. And then you're on a smooth road from there on. To the left, doing an aveira is very easy. Very, very easy. You don't have to eat kosher, you don't have to do mitzvahs, you don't have to observe Shabbos, you don't have to be honest, you don't have to, you know, you don't want to do the mitzvahs, it's very easy. People get away with it, but at the end of the day, the price you pay, like we've said, immediately, a person is dishonest. So right away, he earns himself a bad reputation. Right away, he's already stooped down and he's already a step away from God. Forget about the projected punishment, which is awaiting him later on. But right away, there is a step downward, which is a terrible negative experience. Doing aveiros at first are very easy, very tasty, can be very enchanting, very exciting, very, very enticing. But there's a price you pay at the end of the day. And the price you pay is much worse than you have ever imagined. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu is the old man, and he's advising you the right thing. How important it is to bear in mind that we're given a power of choice, but God, who created man, is telling us what choice to take. The old man, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the name of God, is telling us the right choice. Let's not be foolish, and let's listen to what he is saying. I only have a few minutes left, and I want to bring out something from this week's parsha, which is really phenomenal, a phenomenal message. In this parsha, we have a certain mitzvah, which will bring out to what extent how much Hashem could reward you for any mitzvah that you might want to compare to the mitzvah which I'm going to present to you now. There's a mitzvah where we are going to ask you to look for it in Perek Yud Beis, Parshas Re'eh, Pasuk Chof Gimel through Chof Hei. Chof Gimel is on page 1004. There's a mitzvah the Torah tells us that if a person doesn't live close to the Beis Hamikdash, he's allowed to shecht away from the Beis Hamikdash, but the Torah is going to give us a certain warning. What is the Torah telling us? The Torah is telling us when you shecht a kosher animal, look at the words, Rak chazak levilti achol hadam. The Torah is telling us, be strong not to eat blood. Not to eat blood. Ki adam hu anefesh, because dam is really the soul of the animal. V'leisochal anefesh im abasa. Do not eat the soul with the flesh. Let's skip a pasuk. The chaf hei. Lo teichlenu. Do not eat that. L'man yitav l'cha. What's the blessing for not eating blood? In order it'll be good for you, ulavanecha, and to your sons, acharecha, kisasa hayosh be'eni Hashem, because you've done the right thing in the eyes of Hashem. Rashi is amazed on this kind of a mitzvah, and then brings out something, to me, awesome. So Rashi says, if we can look at the Rashi, in Pasuk Hafei, on the word L'man Yitav Lach, it's the second column, L'man Yitav Lach, in Rashi. If you have it, it's the last few words of line 2, L'man Yitav Lach. Look what Rashi says. Now, this would, to me, to be the finale of today's lesson, and you're going to walk away. It literally boggles the mind. Look at what Rashi says. Say, go out, ulamad, and learn. Matan Schorin Shal Mitzvahs. The true reward for doing a mitzvah. Im Hadam Shenafshe Shal Adam Katzah Mimenu. If blood that the average person is revolting, repulsive reaction. Blood. Who wants to drink blood or eat blood? We're repulsed. There's repulsive action, emotion, to wanting to eat and drink blood. Haporesh mimenu, still a person who separates himself from blood, zoicha aloi ulvanoi achalav. He will be privileged to have the world to come and his children afterwards for refraining from eating and drinking blood. Kal v'chayma, how much more so will a person be rewarded? By the mitzvahs of, let's say, not stealing and not living immoral, right? Where people have a desire to these things, and you refrain from stealing, and you refrain from acting immoral, and you can now continue the Rashi in your own mind, and you do other mitzvahs that are not so easy, and you do them, but they don't even come close to the repulsiveness of drinking blood. And you do them anyway. How much more reward does God put away for you for doing those mitzvahs? If a mitzvah like not eating blood, which a person is by nature disgusted by it, and God rewards you for not eating the blood, how much more will Hashem reward you for keeping other mitzvahs in the Torah, where it's you might be attracted to it, but you contain yourself, you hold yourself back, or mitzvahs that you might find difficult and you do it anyway? How much more reward does God offer you and reward you for them? There is no words. There's literally no words that can describe the reward. So therefore, going back to the beginning of the opening of the parsha, Hashem presents you bracha klala. Doing mitzvahs is a bracha. And as we just finished Rashi, that just explained to us, the reward for mitzvahs is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Let's listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu has told us. Let's choose doing a bracha, and we will for sure be blessed, us, our families, and our communities. Have a wonderful week.